Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 25, very special episode of the Talking Floorball podcast. I am very pleased to be joined today by my guest, NHL star Jonas Donskoy. You are very famous across the ice hockey world, but brand new to the floorball world. But welcome to floorball, Jonas.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is interesting. Interesting to be in a floorball, talking about floorball.
Yeah, I'm sure you've done many podcasts talking about ice hockey, so it'd be a little bit of a switch up for you today.
Yeah. It's fun. It's exciting. Something new.
For those of you unfamiliar, Jonas is a former NHL star, 208 points in 478 games in the NHL, and was also a prolific point scorer in the top division in Finland in the Liiga, 156 points in 271 games, including a famous Finnish championship win in the 2013-14 season. He's also probably most well known across the sea in North America for scoring the game-winning goal in overtime in Game 3 of the Stanley Cup 2015-16 playoffs. But now he's been moved to floorball after retiring from ice hockey not too long ago. Jonas, let's start with that before we work our way back into the ice hockey. You got in touch and you're with a close friendship with Hugo Ruvinen, who is one of the main men in charge of the NAFL team, the Minnesota Growlers. But how did you make the decision to move from ice hockey and into floorball competitively?
So yeah, my hockey career ended kind of unnoticed too soon with too many concussions and some health issues that I had. So it was time to step away from the game for me. I've been playing floorball maybe like once a week just for fun. We have a little group of guys and I live here in Minnesota now. So we have like four or five Finnish guys playing in that group. So it's been fun to talk Finnish and just hang out with the guys. And like you said, I've gotten to know Hugo through that and his dad, Juha, who's running the team. So Hugo's dad, Juha, just asked if I wanted to play a little more competitively and join the Growlers, which I wasn't too sure about. I don't know if I'm, you know, it's a little different than hockey for sure. So I wanted to kind of take the challenge and see if I can compete with these guys. But it's gonna be exciting. There's a lot of good players playing. So it's gonna be fun to see how I can play there.
Well, growing up in Finland, of course, I'm sure you played floorball in school. Was there any sort of outside of ice hockey? Did you play floorball maybe in the summer during the off season?
A little bit. Never played for any team, but I played with my brothers at home, played at school. We played on the streets in Finland. So every once in a while we would always play, but never did I play for a team or anything like that.
Well, let's start off. You going through your hockey career, you played with Karpat for most of your youth career and going into the first stages of senior ice hockey play. How was that for you and what was that like, that whole journey along growing up and playing and realizing that, hey, I'm actually pretty good at this. I could go quite far.
Yeah, it's funny to think back. It all kind of happened really fast. I'm from a small town called Rahe, which is 70 kilometers away from Oulu. Made the decision pretty much on my 15th birthday to move to Oulu to seek out if I could one day play professional hockey and made the jump to move to Oulu, played through Karpat Juniors for a couple of years and then was able to make it to the pro team. Played there, I think I played like six professional seasons maybe. Ended up with two championships, 14 and 15. Then jumped into the NHL after that. Really fun times, took a lot of work to, I would say, like through the ages, like 16 to 23, kind of realized, grew up as an athlete, realized what it's like to be if I wanted to play in the NHL one day, it's really a 24/7 kind of job. You have to have your nutrition on point. You're working out. A lot of times with young guys, they don't always understand that even if you go to the rink and you work out for 3-4 hours, go to the ice, get off, there's still, you know, 20 hours left in the day. So how do you spend that 20 hours off the rink? What do you do at home? How do you recover? How do you eat? So I think those things, for me, realizing those things, getting better at that, kind of allowed me to make a career in the NHL after playing in Finland.
And growing up and playing through all the levels in the youth categories, who was the most influential coach or person for you at a young age? And was there anything that you received advice-wise that still sticks with you today?
There's a lot of them, but probably the most important coach for me was Lauri Marjamäki, who came to Kärpät 2013, coached me for the last couple of years, and he was the one to sort of kick my ass a little bit and challenge me to be a better athlete and made me realize the potential that I could have. Without him, I probably would have kept doing things the same way, and I don't think I would have ever been able to make the jump to come to North America and play in the NHL. So he's for sure probably the most important coach that I had. And there's a lot of players. I mean, for Kärpät, there's a lot of players who make great careers for the national team, won some Olympic medals, you know, World Championship medals, and made a great career in Finland. So I was lucky to have such players to kind of watch every day and see what they do. And it's not coincidence that these guys, the guys that makes long careers, they do things the right way, and it's never a coincidence.
And you spoke about there, your move across the pond, as they say, to North America and the NHL. You actually drafted and you stayed in Finland, and your entry level, well, the rights for your drafting rights were expired, but then you were picked up as a free agent by San Jose. How was that process? Did you feel a bit of frustration that you weren't signed at first?
Not really. So I was drafted in 2010 by Florida, and at that time I really was not ready to make the jump and hockey wise, and also I don't think I was mature enough, which is like one of those things that a lot of people don't think about when these, you know, kids are coming, they're 18, 19, 20, and they make the jump to come here. They might be good enough hockey players, but they might not speak the language, and I might not be mature enough to handle everything else that's going on. Like, we have to, at the end of the day, we're all just human beings, and a lot of times, especially the younger you are, you kind of need the support system. You need your, you know, familiar coaches or parents or whoever it might be. So there's a lot to think about, I think. And in my opinion, a lot of kids maybe make the jump a little too young. They're not ready enough. So I decided to kind of stay in Finland, grow my game, grow as a person, and kind of the things that I just talked about becoming a better athlete. After we won the two championships, I felt like I was ready to make the jump. And at that time, the draft had expired, so I had the Florida Panthers did not have my rights anymore, so I was free to sign whichever team I wanted to, and I felt like San Jose was the right fit for me, so decided to make the jump, and I think that was the right time for me to come here.
Well, if you don't mind, as we speak about your jump to San Jose, I will just play a little clip for those of you unfamiliar with Jonas.
Tierney turned around, but Donskoy goes around behind, and it's shot! He scores!
That's a good memory.
So there you go. For those unfamiliar, that was Jonas himself scoring in game 3 in overtime against the Pittsburgh Penguins for San Jose in your first season in the NHL as well. Does that bring back good memories?
Yeah, great memories. I mean, like I said, I was a free agent and I was free to sign whichever team I wanted to. And I felt like San Jose was the right fit for me. We had amazing older players, leaders for the team, but they didn't necessarily have so many draft picks or younger guys coming up. So I felt like that would be a good fit for me to be able to make the team. And I was able to play with unbelievable players who played over 1,000 games in the NHL and made unbelievable careers. And had a great team that year, was able to make it to the finals. Unfortunately, we lost to Pittsburgh, but still, great memories, and that was a fun year.
As you said, some of the legendary players that you played with, Patrick Marleau, Joe Thornton, to name a few, was there anyone in particular who maybe took you under their wing when you first joined the NHL?
I don't know if one in particular, but all of them. Joe Pavelski was the captain for the team. He just announced his retirement too. Played, I don't know how many games he played, but he played for a really long time. Joe Thornton, I played with those two in the same line a lot of times that year. Patrick Marleau, like you said, Joel Ward, Brent Burns was our defenseman. There were so many good players that, you know, coming to the rink, seeing those, how they practice every day, what, you know, how they approach the games, how they get ready, all that kind of stuff. It was pretty amazing to see. And like I said earlier, like, it's never a coincidence with these guys, like why they make such a long careers. It takes a lot of work. It takes, you know, they never rest. It feels like they always work on the little things in their game to get better. And that's the key.
And you spent several years in the NHL. You played for, in total, I believe, three different organizations in San Jose, Colorado, and Seattle. You were actually picked by Seattle, I believe, in the expansion draft. Can you talk us a little bit through that, as that's still quite a novel thing in sports?
Yeah, that was interesting times in many ways. I had signed 4-year contract with Colorado, and at that time my wife got pregnant with our first son, so we decided to buy a house in Denver, and she was 9 months pregnant with our first when we got picked up in the expansion draft. So there's always things like that, but people don't really know. But that was a challenging time for sure to move, but it was fun. It was I mean, Seattle is such an amazing sports city. So many fans from day one, like season tickets sold out in like a couple of minutes when the team was announced. Full crowds every game, unbelievable organization, a lot of good people. Still have so many good friends in Seattle within the organization, not even the players, but everybody in the office. I got to know so many good people, but you know, it was challenging when it happened, but, you know, after being there for 2 years, only good memories, and that was a fun time.
And that first season, you were quite productive. You were one of the main players on their team, but the second season, unfortunately for you, didn't go the way probably that you wanted, and eventually led, as you mentioned, to your retirement from ice hockey with your battles for concussion. Not just something that is affecting ice hockey players, but we see that in multiple sports such as the NFL, and now also many high profile floorball players struggling and dealing with the impacts and the long lasting effects of concussion. None more so than Finnish international Krister Savonen, you may be familiar with, Jonas, and how has that story translated, and how has that been with you trying to deal with those long lasting effects?
Yeah, I started having troubles, I would say, maybe my last 3 or 4 years in the league. I started getting concussions, and I kind of got into this bad cycle of I think I had four concussions in like 13 months or so, within a year or so. And that kind of when the trouble started, and then ended up having one more in Seattle, and it's really sort of tough to even explain some of the pains that you go through and how hard it is You know, like if you hurt your knee or you hurt your shoulder, it's kind of straightforward recovery process. You know what to do. But with concussions, you don't know many times, and there's all the risks with CTE. I don't know if you're familiar with that and all the long lasting difficulties that you could have. So after having so many, I just decided, and having a young family, that you know, I'll put my health first at this time. Right now, today, I'm actually doing pretty good. Been recovered really well. Can do most things. So, and can be a good dad for our two sons. So, yeah, I think that was for sure the right decision for me at that time.
And as we mentioned, there has been several floorball players who have been affected, and it's not something that is just unique to ice hockey or high impact sports such as American football. Have you had discussions with people in regards to now you playing floorball in regards to the concussions?
Yeah, that was the risk I was willing to take at this point. I mean, the season is so short, and I'm not planning to make a career out of this. This is more just a one-time thing that I'm going to go and play and compete. And like I mentioned earlier, you asked me if I wanted to hop in. To be honest, it's probably been the toughest year of my life of not being able to compete, not, you know, giving up hockey and trying to find sort of the next passion and what to do next. So I feel like this was a good spark at this time for me too, personally, giving me some motivation to work out again and you know, do all that kind of stuff. So there's always risks. There's risks to it or anything, but I'm not too worried about it. Like I said, it's a short season, a couple of games, so you know, just have to be mindful.
And I guess that's one of the big pulling points, as you mentioned, that miss of the adrenaline, the miss of the action, the competitiveness. It's been 2 years now since you last played competitive sports, and how does that feel? Does you get the blood flowing, the juices pumping, as they say?
Yeah, it's been hard. It's after you play professional, I don't care what sport it is, but it's tough when it ends. It's tough to find that same sort of adrenaline. And anything else in life, so it's been challenging for sure, but you know, that's how it is. You can't play forever, and it comes to an end at some point. So I still like to play different games. You know, I've been playing pickleball and tennis and golf and floorball. So I'm trying to keep it alive that way.
And you certainly have a lot of talented players who are going to be joining you on this Minnesota Growler squad for the season. Probably none more so than the very famous Petter Kotilainen, two-time world champion with Finland, plus a silver and a bronze medal. And he himself is coming off a great season in Switzerland for Floorball Thurgau. How familiar are you? Have you ever had any chats with Petter, or will it be brand new meeting him?
I've never met him, never talked with him, but obviously I know who he is. He's very famous in Finland and probably one of the most, if not the most famous Finnish floorball player. So that was one of those things that like excites me, getting to know him and seeing him play. There's a lot of other guys too. So that was like a big motivation for me too, just to kind of see how good these guys actually are. It's such a different sport to hockey, so I don't know. I'm just excited to see the level of play.
And you were a forward in ice hockey. Will you be a forward in floorball, or how do you think your game will translate?
I hope so. I mean, I think I'm a horrible defender, so I hope I play forward. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Hopefully I'll be able to score at least one goal. That'd be amazing, but... We'll see. Like I said, I have no idea how good these guys are. I don't know. I have no idea about the level of play. So it'll be really interesting to see.
Hopefully you'll have them on stick handling at least. Another thing as well, you've had a long career in ice hockey. We always like to ask this story of our guests, no matter what sport they're in. Do you have any crazy or funny stories that still stick out throughout all your years?
Oh, There's probably so many. What, I don't know what kind of stories. Well, so many stories, like rookie dinner in NHL. It's every year they have this dinner for all the rookies, the newcomers for the team to have this fancy party, and guys order, you know, whatever they want, expensive things, trying to make the bill as high as possible for the young guys to pay at the end of it. So that was I was one of those fun memories. I think the bill ended up being like 21,000 or something crazy. We had three rookies, so we divided it by three, so $7,000 per guy, which is insanity when you think about it. But got really drunk that night. Obviously, they always want the young guys to get some alcohol in them. And still remember, we had a practice the next day in the morning, so that was probably not one of my best practices. That's one of those things that kind of brings the team together, and it's just one fun outings, and every once in a while it's good to do. So yeah, that's a fun memory.
Well, you're a rookie in this team, so hopefully you won't be paying another big restaurant bill.
Yeah, I don't know how it works in floorball, but hopefully there's not going to be one of those big bills coming in.
And we'll end with a couple of fan questions. To begin with, first question, talking about how you were known for being relatively a clean player in the NHL. Do you think that that will also be the case in floorball?
Yeah, probably. I'm always been, I always like to say it, I was probably too nice to even play hockey. You know, I've always played clean, especially when it gets playoffs time. Like, you kind of need those, you kind of need to play in the gray area a little bit and play a little dirty. So that's part of the game, at least in hockey. But I think floorball is a lot cleaner. So and in regards to that too, with my concussions, I don't think it's as big of a risk as it would be in hockey. So yeah, I'll keep it clean.
Next one is, if your team tells you to take the penalty shot, do you have a go-to move or something that you would keep in your back pocket?
That's a great question, actually. I don't have anything. That's so different. Goalies don't have sticks and they're standing on their knees. I've been actually watching your guys' Instagram page with some shootout clips that you've had and get some ideas. So I don't know, but that'll be interesting if I get the suit one.
Next one is, how is it for you as an ice hockey player going from holding a stick with gloves to now holding a stick with your bare hands? Do you feel like you want to wear gloves? There is one famous player, Rasmus Kainalainen. He wears gloves when he plays, but obviously not ice hockey style, just American football style gloves. Is that something you're thinking about? Or?
Oh, I didn't even know that. No, I don't miss the gloves. I'm fine playing without the gloves, but I think the ball handles very differently to a puck. It's a lot lighter, it bounces more, and the blade of the stick is a lot different. So it's certainly not the same as handling a puck. So it's been a little bit of adjustment for me, but I'm sure I'm able to handle it just good enough.
And the last one, the finals of the NFL will take place in Duluth, Minnesota, alongside the Finn Festival, which is an annual festival celebrating all things Finland and the Nordics in the north of the USA. Will your friends and family come to watch you in the finals? And is it too far away from where you live currently?
No, I think it's about a 3-hour drive. I've actually never been to Duluth, so that's one of those things too that I'm excited about to see. I have some friends live there who's been saying a lot of good things about Duluth, and like you mentioned, the FinFest, so it's like perfect. That's at the same time too. So that's one of those things that I always wanted to do here in Minnesota. So it's exciting that it's at the same time. But yeah, I'm not sure about my family yet. We actually just talked about it last night. My wife is busy with her work, but I'm hoping they'll be able to come.
I'm sure even if they can't, you'll have some fans in the stands, maybe with your jersey.
That'd be fun.
And speaking of which, do you get to keep your favorite number throughout your career? Or has that not been discussed yet for floorball?
I believe so, yeah. I think we discussed about it. I think I'm going to be number 72, pretty sure. I have to double check, but I think I am. Yeah.
We shall see. We shall see. Well, thank you, Jon.
Either way. doesn't matter to me as long as I get to play.
Well, thank you, Jonas. And you guys listening at home can watch all of the games on the NFL will be free on their YouTube channel. Just type in NFL on YouTube and you can watch all the games happening from across the country. It's three stops on the NFL calendar. It starts this weekend and it goes all the way till the end of July, finishing off in Duluth, Minnesota, as we mentioned, at FinFest. Jonas, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Thank you, James.
And you can be sure to keep up to date with all things football throughout the summer, as we will cover more action as we head towards our big event at the end of the year, the Men's World Championships taking place in Malmo. Jonas, we hope to see you maybe in the 3v3 World Championships next year, the small form, maybe.
Not promising anything. We'll see. We'll see how this season goes first. Maybe well, hopefully I'm going to play again. We'll see.
Hopefully the Finnish scouts are watching this NAFL season. So
we'll see.
Thank you very much. Thank you everyone at home for listening. And we will catch you again on the next episode of the Talking Floorball podcast. Thank you and bye for now.